الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, today is the 21st of Jumada Thani 1433, which corresponds to the 12th of May 2012. It's a Saturday evening here at the Mushrifa Da'wah Center, and we will continue our discussion on some of the fascinating traits of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We discussed last week a few of their characteristics, primarily their dutifulness to parents and the rights of the parents, and we went into some elaboration on that. And then we did not begin, and we spoke about keeping the kinship ties, right? We gave some examples of that as well. And we made it up to the point about وَحُسْنُ الْجِوَارِ وَقَوْلِهِ أَوْ قَوْلِهِ وَحُسْنُ الْجِوَارِ. And Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah enjoin and invite and call people to have the quality of حُسْنُ الْجِوَارِ. What does that mean? حُسْن, beauty, okay.
Be good to the neighbor.
Huh? We said حُسْن, sir. Forget about jiwar now. Husn means husn. One meaning is beauty, right? Hasan is good. Hadithun, hasan. And ihsan, muhsinin. All of these actually come from the same idea. Okay? So husn is excellence or goodness. Al-jiwar, جوار هذا الشيء بجواري, meaning it is to my side, it is nearby. Aikum salam. That is the linguistic thing. Has to do with something that is nearby to you. Close, قريب, نعم. Of course it has a broader meaning, but just to begin. So حسن الجوار is then the excellence of being neighborhood, neighboring. Huh? So being good in your neighborship, to your neighborhood, or to your neighbors in the neighborhood. How does that sound? The Shaykh said, أي ويأمرون يعني أهل السنة والجماعة. يأمرون. They command. بحسن الجوار مع الجيران. To have good relationship, in other words, with your neighbors. والجيران هم الأقارب في المنزل. وَأَدْنَاهُمْ أَوْلَادُهُمْ بِالْإِحْسَانِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. The Shaykh said, Jiran actually are the neighbors in the homes, the relatives in the homes, I'm sorry, the relatives in the homes, and what is lesser than that, and their children, and you treat them with إِحْسَان and إِكْرَام, with excellence and nobility. You honor them, إِكْرَام. قال الله تعالى وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمسكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنوب. سورة النساء آية 36. We took this not that many weeks ago at the Da'wah Center in Salama. And to the parents, be dutiful and good. And to the relatives, and to the orphans, and to the poor, and to the neighbor that is near, and to the neighbor that is farther away from the one who was near. فَأَوْصَى اللَّهُ بِالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى الْجَارِ الْقَرِيبِ وَالْجَارِ الْبَعِيدِ. Then Allah enjoined that you have ihsan to the near neighbor and the far neighbor, the one nearby and the one that is far. وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ. Whosoever believes in Allah on the last day, let him honor his neighbor. وَقَالَ إِذَا تَبَخْتَ مِرْقَهُ أَوْ مَرَقَهُ فَأَكْثِرْ مَاءَهَا وَتَعَاهَدْ جِيرَانَكَ. If you make some soup, then increase the liquid, the soup itself actually, and be mindful of your neighbors. Make some more for them. When was the last time you did that? Ah, you're having that indomie for yourself. None for the neighbor. All those, what, 1 riyal? 1 riyal. Subhanallah. وَقَالَ مَا زَالَ جِبْرِيلُ يُوصِينِ بِالْجَارِ حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُورِثُهُ. Jibreel continued to advise me and admonish me in regards to the neighbor until I thought he will make him get a share of inheritance. He will be included in the earth. Subhanallah. وقال, all these are the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. وقال والله لا يؤمن والله لا يؤمن والله لا يؤمن قيل ومن هي رسول الله قال الذي لا يأمن جاره وبائقه بوائقه عفوا. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said والله does not believe, والله does not believe, والله does not believe. They said, who, a messenger of Allah? He said, the one whose neighbor is not safe from his evil. You don't feel safe. You don't know when he's going to pull the next stunt. When he's going to go mad. When he's going to go crazy. When he's going to do something evil. عجيب يعني. He doesn't believe. He's no way he's a believer. إلى غير ذلك من النصوص الدالة على العناية بالجار والإحسان إليه وإكرامه. And other textual evidences which allude to the وعليكم السلام, which indicate the care for the neighbor. And excellence, being good towards him and honoring him. والجار إن كان مسلما قريبا كان له ثلاثة حقوق. If the neighbor is a Muslim who's related to you, then he has three rights now. حق الإسلام, the right of Islam. وحق القرابة, the right of relation. وحق الجوار, the right of neighborhood. Three in one. Three in one. One person can have three rights over you. Relation. Yes. Rights of Islam. Rights of relation. He's related to you. And rights of neighborhood. Neighborhood or neighbors. Rights, the rights of neighbors. وَإِنْ كَانَ مُسْلِمًا وَإِنْ كَانَ قَرِيبًا جَارًا فَلَوْ حَقًّا. If he is a relative that is a neighbor to you, then he has only two rights, assuming he's not a Muslim. Possible. حق القرابة وحق الجوار, the right of relation and the right of neighborhood. I'm not going to say this, right of this. What is the right word here? The right of neighboring or the right of neighborhood? I don't know. وإن كان مسلما غير قريب وهو جار فله حقان, حق الإسلام وحق الجوار. If he's a neighbor and a Muslim, but he's not related to you, then he has the right of Islam and the right of
neighborhood.
It doesn't sound right. The right of neighborhood.
Neighbor's right.
Neighbor's right? The right of neighbor's right? Fantastic, brother. Barakallah feek. You know, as they say, there's an Arabic expression that says, the person, you know, somebody had some problem with the eye. And so, you know, the kuhul is a means of treatment. So he came to treat the disease with a cure. He made them blind. To treat the disease with the kuhul, he wind up busting the whole thing and that person became blind. Don't get sad. Oh, they look like, oh, it's not gonna happen, man. This is an example. Nobody's got blind because of this. But the idea is someone tried to fix it, then they make it worse. Someone says, don't worry, I'll take care of the car. It's a minor problem. He wants to change the oil filter. He ruins the whole engine. Yeah, takes things out and says, "Akhi, we were better off before you got involved." Don't think, don't worry about it. It's not that bad. I'm just giving you an example of what happened here. Anywho, وَإِنْ كَانَ جَارًا كَافِرًا بَعِيدًا. If he is a kafir, neighbor who's far, he has one right. The right of being your neighbor. Enough. Huh?
If it is far, right of relation?
Yes. No, he's a neighbor, but he's not related to you. فأهل السنة والجماعة يأمرون بحسن الجوار مطلقا. على كل حال, أهل السنة والجماعة, they command and enjoin the right of neighborhood. We're just going to say neighborhood. We hope it's right. In a general sense, أيًا كان الجار, irrespective of the kind of neighbor that you have. Muslim, kafir, close, far, related, not related, كله يجي. وَمَنْ كَانَ أَقْرَبَ فَهُوَ أَوْلَى. And the nearer, the more of the right. The closer he is, the more of the right. وَمِنَ الْمُؤْسِفِ أَنَّ بَعْضَ النَّاسِ الْيَوْمَ يُسِئُونَ إِلَى الْجَارِ أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا يُسِئُونَ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ. The Sheikh said, what is saddening, that some people today, they actually harm the neighbor more than they harm other people. يعني the neighbor is supposed to get more right, he gets more harm. Right? It's like, yeah, that guy. فتجده يعتدي على جاره بالأخذ من ملكه وأزعاجه. You find that he transgresses against his neighbor by taking his property, consuming his property, and annoying him and bothering him. وقد ذكر الفقهاء رحمهم الله في آخر باب الصلح في الفقه شيئا من أحكام الجوار فليراجع فليرجع إليه. It says here فليراجع إليه. It's a typo. Where's your book? Anyways, there shouldn't be an alif here. And the fuqaha, may Allah have mercy on them, they have at the last chapter, on the chapter of rectification, in fiqh, they have something about the rights of neighborhood. And so you can refer back to it if you want more information. قوله والإحسان إلى اليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل. أهل السنة والجماعة also then speak about or enjoin إحسان, excellence, إلى اليتامى, orphans, والمساكين, the poor in general, وابن السبيل. What is ابن السبيل?
Travelers.
What's another word for travelers?
Wayfarer.
Wayfarer. ما شاء الله تبارك الله. Webster's Dictionary. كذلك يأمرون أهل السنة والجماعة بالإحسان إلى هؤلاء الأصناف الثلاثة. So أهل السنة والجماعة also enjoin and command people to be good to these three categories of people. اليتامى جمع يتيم. يتامى. يتامى. Two alifs. One is regular, one is maksura. That is maksura, is the one that is written like a ya, but it doesn't have to do the two dashes at the bottom. So it's treated as an alif. صح؟ نعم. جمع يتيم, the plural of يتيم. What is a يتيم? Oh, wow. Like, wallah, we should give you a جائزة or no? Want this pamphlet, brother? You can give it to a Tagalog speaker. This excellent. Did you see that answer? That was bullseye. He said fatherless. Correct. Many people think an orphan is one who lost both of his parents. Not in Islam. If the mother's alive, father's dead, he's an orphan.
But for animal, cat or something, so opposite.
For the animal, mothers.
Mothers.
Sheikh, Allah yirda alik, Ibrahim, Allah billah alik. We're speaking about human beings, like, take us to the animals, and you worried about the animals right now?
Mother lost.
Zakallah khair. When was the last time you said, oh, this is an orphan cat from the neighborhood? Nobody knows, man. It's like somebody's going to study the family tree and find out which mother and when it was run over and how this one survived. Allah, you got a lot of time on your hand, yeah, Ibrahim. People are dying around, man. Anyways, Allah mustaan. So the yatim is the one who, but is there another condition?
Yes.
Before the age of puberty. Somebody who's 50 years old, his father died, you know, rahimahullah, a few years, 110 years ago, he cannot say, I'm an orphan. Yeah. Brother, you're a man, khalas. Otherwise, everybody's an orphan at that age, yani, if their parents passed away. So, the fathers actually. We're speaking about someone who has not yet reached the age of discretion and whose father has passed away. So the Shaykh said, وَهُوَ الَّذِي مَاتَ أَبُوهُ قَبْلَ بُلُوغِهِ. It's the one whose father has passed away before he has reached the age of puberty. وَقَدْ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى الْيَتَامَى. Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded that we are dutiful, or we are kind, or we are good with the, or to the orphans. وَكَذَلِكَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَثَّ عَلَيْهِ فِي عِدَّةِ أَحَدِيثِ. Also the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام encouraged that in many different traditions. وَوَجُّ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْيَتِيمَ قَدْ انْكَسَرَ قَلْبُهُ بِفَقْدِ أَبِيهِ. The wisdom behind that. The reason behind that is that the orphan boy, his heart has been broken due to the loss of his father. You can all imagine how that feels. فَهُوَ بِحَاجَةٍ إِلَى الْعِنَايَةِ وَالرِّفْقِ. He needs, therefore, some care and some kindness, some gentleness with him. وَالْإِحْسَانُ الْيَتَامَ يَكُونُ بِحَسَبِ الْحَالِ. Anyways, being good to them depends on the situation. Some may require more than others. Some may be strong. Some may need more. يعني you see how the situation is. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ هم الفقراء. مساكين are the فقراء. And by the way, the scholars do make a distinction between a miskin and a faqir. Huh? When they define them, they make a distinction between them. So if my memory serves me well, al-faqir is the one who makes less than half of what he needs to survive. The miskin is the one who makes more than half, but still not enough. So mind you, neither one of them is dead broke. Anyways, هم الفقراء وهو هنا شامل المسكين والفقير. But here, when miskin is said, it contains both. It applies to both. when one is mentioned. So when you say faqir, miskeen is included. And when you say miskeen, faqir is included. When you say both of them together, the scholars make that distinction. Now, فَالْإِحْسَانُ إِلَيْهِمْ مِمَّا أَمَرَ بِهِ الشَّرْعُ فِي آيَاتٍ مُتَعَدِّدَةٍ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. So being dutiful to them is something that the legislation has commanded in numerous ayat of the Quran. وَجَعَلَ لَهُمْ حُقُوقًا خَاصَّةً فِي الْفَيِّ وَغَيْرِهِمْ. And it gave them specific rights specifically. It gave them rights specifically in regards to the war booty and the likes. وَجُّ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَيْهِمْ أَنَّ الْفَقْرَ أَسْكَنَهُمْ وَأَضْعَفَهُمْ وَكَسْرَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. The wisdom behind that now is that poverty has made them أَسْكَنَهُمْ. So they're like, you know, second, your residence or your accommodation. So basically, no mobility. They're unable to move around and get a job and go, after, you know, earn a living like a regular person. So they have been made to be remain put in one place, because of not being able to work. So miskeen from that thing. Askanathu. Al-faqr askanahum wa adhafahum. And it weakened them. It weakened them. Wa kasara qulubihim, and it broke their hearts. Fakana min mahasin al-islam an nuhsina ilayhim. So it became one of the yani beautiful traits of Islam that we treat them with goodness. جَبْرًا لِمَا حَصَلْ لَهُمْ مِنَ النَّقْصِ وَالْإِنْكِسَارِ, as means of rectifying or trying to fix up the suffering which they have endured. And the deficiency and that hard, you know, brokenheartedness. وَالْإِحْسَانُ إِلَى الْمَسَاكِينَ يَكُونُ بِحَسَبِ الْحَالِ. Also being ihsan to the miskeen is situational. فَإِذَا كَانَ مُحْتَاجًا إِلَى طَعَامًا. إِلَى طَعَامٍ, it says طَعَامًا, طَعَامٍ. فالإحسان إليه بأن تطعمه. If his need is food, then being good to him is by giving him food. وإن كان محتاجا إلى كسوة ولا كسوة. نعم. And where do you hear that word usually? نعم, كسوة الكعبة. And if he's in need of كسوة, is that what you cover yourself with, clothing? فَالْإِحْسَانُ إِلَيْهِ بِأَنْ تَكْسُوَهُ. Being dutiful to him or kind to him is that you give him something to wear. وَإِلَى اَعْتِبَارُ بِأَنْ تُوَلِّيهَ اَعْتِبَارًا فَإِذَا دَخَلَ الْمَجْلِسِ. And it could be that you give him a particular attention. If he enters upon a gathering, تُرَحِبْ بِهِ, you welcome him. Huh? وَتُقَدِّمُهُ لِأَجْلِ أَنْ تَرْفَعَ مَعْنَوِيَتِهِ. And you know, you speak highly of him so you can raise and you know, His state of mind. Ma'nawiyya is like his confidence, self-confidence. You're trying to boost his self-confidence by speaking, you know, of him and honoring him. Because usually when he comes in, he feels like he's nobody. So when he gets that attention from you, it gives him some confidence. You know what I'm saying? So it could be good. It could be that means of ihsan. And that is easy. That's the easiest one that we can all do. When you see someone who is poor or who is needy, don't just ignore him. And walk like you don't see him, give him salam, you know, smile in him, give him some attention. He feels good when he thinks that you're something important and he's no one. So you kind of really help him as opposed to everybody treating him like he's, you know, some trash. That is a killer for the human يعني, psychology, subhanAllah. And many, many يعني, behave in this fashion. I still don't understand why. فَمِنْ أَجْلِ هَذَا النَّقْصِ الَّذِي قَدَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَيْهِ بِحِكْمَتِهِ أَمَرَنَا عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَن نُحْسِنَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Because of this deficiency which Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed because of his wisdom, he has commanded us that we treat him with ihsan. Kadhalika ibn as-sabil. The same goes for the, I mean, ibn as-sabil really means the son of the way. Okay, but you know, that sounds like another thing which people usually use, and so we don't want to say the son of the way, because some people think you're trying to play with the words and you're trying to curse someone out. But that's what it actually technically means. Ibn al-Sabir. وَهُوَ الْمُسَافِرُ. It's the traveler. وَهُوَ هُنَا الْمُسَافِرُ الَّذِي انْقَطَعَ بِهِ السَّفَرُ. But not any traveler. Huh? يعني, you get on the plane. You got an apple with you. That's all the food you have. And as you're walking by, someone is sitting in first class. You say, oh, mashallah, that's a musafir. Here you go, brother. And you give him the apple and you go starve in the back, and after you give him the apple, of course, he's going to throw it in the trash, and then they're going to bring the kahwa and the dates, and he's going to be reclining on this big seat. Hey, man, say, trash. Say, brother, you don't understand. This is a traveler. And we were commanded to be, you know, good with the traveler. So you're not the one who's in first class. Huh? That is not what is intended. What is intended is the one who has been what? Someone who's afflicted with some calamity during his travel, due to which he cannot make it back, nor make it to his destination, nor he's stranded. That's the word I'm looking for. He is stranded. You know what stranded means? Someone who's in the middle of nowhere, no means to get anywhere. Stranded. That is the musafir we're speaking about. Not every musafir is entitled for your... And not that you treat him bad, but you don't be giving him the money when you yourself may need the money and he's in first class. Or he's on an airplane next to you. وَهُوَ هُنَا الْمُسَافِرُ الَّذِي انْقَطَعَ بِهِ السَّفَرُ. Travel has been cut off. He is unable to continue his travel, in other words. أَوْ لَمْ يَنْقَطَعْ بِخِلَافِ الزَّكَاءِ. Unlike... الَّذِي انْقَطَعَ بِهِ السَّفَرُ أَوْ لَمْ يَنْقَطَعْ. Or the one who hasn't been cut off. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ. Either way, he cannot travel. Nor to the destination, nor back. بخلاف الزكاة. Unlike زكاة. Now the Shaykh is making a distinction between إحسان and زكاة. Because they're not the same. Here we're dealing with إحسان extra. Extra. زكاة is obligatory. He deserves in Islam, he has a portion of زكاة. He's entitled to it. That's the difference between obligation and recommendation. That's what the Shaykh is alluding to. لأن المسافر غريب. Why? The traveler is a stranger. والغريب مستوحش. What does that mean? مستوحش.
I think from the same word, he's stranded. It's come from that one that's not scaled, but.
Well, it combines two meanings. Being homesick is when you miss home. That's the English word they use. I'm homesick, meaning I miss home. And feeling uneasy about the surroundings. You're amongst people you don't know, places you don't know, you're lost. So you have this wahsha. And here they say, lak wahsha ya sheikh. Yani, you know, you get missed when you're not around. Huh?
Isolation.
Isolation is maybe in a jail cell. Okay, this guy may be around among many people, not necessarily isolated, maybe mentally isolated, but not physically. He could be around people, but he just doesn't feel that sense of belonging. Are you satisfied? Inshallah.
فَإِذَا أَنَسْتُهُ بِإِكْرَامِهِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ هَذَا مِمَّا يَأْمُرُ بِهِ الشَّرْعُ.
If you, يعني أنستو, if you kind of make him feel welcome, huh, warm feelings, by honoring him and being good to him, then this is something the legislation has commanded. يعني don't worry brother, you're our brother, don't worry about it, we'll take care of you, come with me home and this and that, make him feel okay, because he feels like he's lost, he's stranded, he wants someone to take him in, someone to embrace him, someone to give him some care and attention.
فَإِذَا نَزَلَ إِبْنُ السَّبِيلِ بِكَ ضَيْفًا فَمِنْ إِكْرَامِ أَنْ تُكْرِمَ ضِيَافَتَهُ.
If then a traveler comes to you as a guest, then honoring him is by honoring his stay. Honoring him in his stay. And the way you host him.
لَكِنْ قَالَ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ.
Some of the scholars said, however,
إِنَّهُ لَا يَجِبْ إِكْرَامُهُ بِضِيَافَتِهِ إِلَّا فِي الْقُرَى دُونِ الْأَمْصَارِ.
You're not expected to treat him in this particular honorable way unless it is in the villages, unlike like the busy places in the cities.
وَنَحْنُ نَقُولُ بَلْ هِيَ وَاجِبَةٌ فِي الْقُرَى وَالْأَمْصَارِ.
We say rather it is obligatory irrespective of the place, whether the village or the cities.
إِلَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ هُنَاكَ سَبَبٌ.
Unless there's a reason.
كَضِيقِ الْبَيْتِ مَثَلًا.
Like your house is being, your home is tight. Tight is actually small. Okay? There's no room for you to accommodate a guest. This happens, by the way. You're not going to put him in a kitchen. He's not going to like it.
أو أسباب أخرى تمنع أن تضيف هذا الرجل.
أو تضيف هذا الرجل. Or there may be other reasons which prevent you from honoring this particular man. لكن على كل حال ينبغي إذا تعذر أن تحسن الرد. However, if you're unable to welcome him, you should give him a good answer. Sorry, brother, it would be my honor to have you, but you know, sadly, the situation here doesn't allow it. I have some reasons which I may disclose or I may not disclose, whatever. But don't just be like, no, and hang up the phone. Yani, be diplomatic in the way you apologize if there's a reason to reject. Otherwise, you expect it to take him in and take care of him and treat him kindly. قوله والرفق بالمملوك. يعني أن أهل السنة والجماعة يأمرون بالرفق بالمملوك. رفق we said is what? Kindness and gentleness. Huh? مملوك okay, what does it mean here particularly though? رفق بالمملوك. مملوك is a slave. Either a slave that you own or an animal. It could apply to both because it's ملك. وهذا يشمل المملوك الآدمي والبهيم. That includes both a human مملوك and the animal. فالفرق بالمملوك الآدمي أن تطعمه إذا طعمت. The difference is that the human property, the human slave, you feed him if you feed yourself, whenever you feed yourself. وتكسوه إذا اكتسيت. And you clothe him when you clothe yourself. ولا تكلفه ما لا يطيق. And you do not burden him with that which he cannot handle. And many people, by the way, have a problem with that. They say, how can Islam permit slavery and what is this and blah, blah, blah. And the truth of the matter is these people don't really know Islam. And the sad thing is that some people, in order to please the kuffar, they go that extra mile and they deny this thing completely. And they say, no, Islam came to eradicate slavery and Islam is, you know, trying to get rid of it slowly but surely and da-da-da-da-da, which we don't deny that Islam encouraged emancipating the slaves, letting him free, but it did not put an end to this particular fact of life. It did not. And until Yawm al-Qiyamah, if Muslims were to engage in war with the kuffar and we were to whoop him, we will be taking them ladies. Just like that. And so that's why many prefer particular countries to be, you know, invaded soon. Because they like this particular race. And yeah, there's nothing to be ashamed of and there's nothing to be afraid of. Because let me tell you something. Until today, it is known. In fact, there isn't an exception to the rule. There's no country in the world except that once these two people fight, rape is part of the process. Just read the news. Don't believe me. Just read CNN. Read the CNN. Every time there's warfare, the army of this country, when they invade the other one, they rape the women and impregnate them and leave them hanging. Yalla. And they go. And then there's a disaster. And then prostitution becomes prevalent, like in Iraq. Because all these men are dead and women don't have anyone to take care of them. You see, so that's why Islam came with this very practical solution. If you, look, when you beat them, you own them. That's just the rule of war. It has been the rule of war from the time of the beginning of time until the end of time. You beat, you own. Until today, the countries that invade the other ones and they say this country now belongs to us. And they own it. So now that there's a woman in your household, okay, whose husband may have died in the war or whatever the situation may be, you as a man, a woman living in your house is not normal. You're a man. So the very idea of a woman walking around the house is no good. Not for you, not for your wife. Your wife is not going to like it. And what kind of lowering the gaze will you be able to implement in your house? That's why it's very strange when families live together. It's like the whole, everybody's living in one house. How do they live? What, the women walk around hijab the whole time at home? And the men are lowering the gaze the whole time? The whole time you're walking at home, you know, like this? It's against the practicality of Islam. Some cultures really are for that. And I'm getting these weird emails about how husband and the three children with the three wives and the mother and the dad, everybody's living in the same household. This is pretty wild. It's pretty wild. Not saying it's haram, but it makes life very difficult, at least for the wife. The wife wants to be free, man. She's already having to wear the hijab outside. She's going to wear the hijab at home. She's going to go crazy very soon. And then your mother all the time telling her, do this, don't do this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all day. Yeah, sure. And the mother has nothing else to do. And these are the new toys in the house. Or the wives, her daughters-in-law, these are the toys. She's going to show her authority, and she's the boss, and she's the experienced one. So they become the target. She drives them crazy. Then the husband wants to treat his wife nice. His mother's jealous. Why are you treating this lady better than me? How come? Yeah, Sheikh, you won't finish it. The problems won't end. Best thing to do is rent your own place and live next to your parents. Every day, knock on the door, visit them. How are you doing? But keep your family away for your peace of mind. Otherwise, it's very difficult to survive. And I'm saying this based on the emails. The emails I get is problems because of this kind of situation. Brother, I live in the same house with my mom, and my mom keeps, cursing my wife out. My wife out is going to go crazy. And the same story, every email is the same story. I just got one today. That's why I'm speaking about this now. Okay, it's very sad. And, culture has to know its limits. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ did not live with Fatima and Ali in the same household. Okay? Every one of his wives had her own accommodation, had her own place. That's what we know. That's the asl. Now, if people want to go against it, that's a whole other discussion. How did I get here? I don't know. Yeah. So I was speaking about that. So now this woman is living in your house. What is the most natural thing for you? Have relations with her. Have relations with her, because you don't have to marry her. Because if you own 5, 6, 7 during the war, how are you going to marry all of them when Islam prohibits 4? So even if you were to marry 4 and you had 4 wives and Mulk Yameen came, now what are you going to do? So the only solution is that Islam paves the way for that relation. Right. When you have relations with her, khalas, you have a peace of mind. You don't have to now worry about looking and lowering the gaze, because this is halal for you. For her, she doesn't have to go outside, looking for a man or doing something haram. And if she finds a husband, then you facilitate that for her. If she becomes pregnant, she's freed. She delivers the child, she's freed. So it's a win-win situation for the society, for the woman herself, for the man, and for everybody. And for the wife, because the wife will say, yeah, I don't care, she's your wife. Because the mode of women, nowadays they've changed a lot. But she's like, yeah, she's just a slave. But a co-wife is a bigger problem to her than simply a slave. See, that's where the competition is. Of course, your wife doesn't want you to have relations with anything, right? With any other woman on earth. Huh? Even, if you're hugging the pillow, and you're not having, if you're hugging the pillow, say, hug me. Say, but the pillow's more comfortable. Oh, the pillow's more comfortable? You have a big war at home because of a pillow. Yeah, Sheikh, we were just joking, man. Next. Women are weird in this fashion. You know what I'm saying? You're smiling. You look like you have problems at home. But anyway, so what I'm saying is, it's a solution for everybody. Now, the kuffar, these worthless creatures, they come say, oh, look, what is this? Oh. But then he has a girlfriend that he has relations with. Oh, yeah, Sheikh. This is haram. This is haram. In every religion, even in human psyche, what you're doing is prohibited. This Allah made halal for us in guidelines, and there are rules for them. You have a girlfriend every other week. You're doing it with everybody. What are you talking about? So they've become so, their fitrah so busted, that the abhorrent act of having sexual relations with different partners became okay, and something you do under guidelines is not okay. And we fell for the trap. We started believing, a girlfriend, not a big deal, but having relations with a right-hand possession, this is a little bit too much. Muslims say that. They want an explanation. Explain. They don't trust Allah Azza wa Jal. As if Allah is going to let you say something that is not good for human beings. So if you understood them in the right context, there'll be no issue. So that's mulkul yameen. It's something that you can have once there's a jihad and the Muslims win, then these women become the property of these men. That's just the way it is. Alhamdulillah. فنعم. So this is in regards to the Mamluk. But yet look at the treatment. Huh? Look at the treatment. If you eat, you feed him. If you dress, you clothe him. And you don't burden him. Compare that slavery. See, the people don't... The problem is in the word slavery. The word slavery is a little, you know, it gives you that kind of reaction. Because when they think of slavery, they refer to white people enslaving black people. Where no such rights were entertained. Where it was because of skin color. In Islam, it is not based on skin color. A black master can own a white man. Because he got him in the war. You understand? It is not based on race and skin color, unlike the filthy racism of the racists. So when we use the term slavery, be mindful that the audience is thinking in his mind, white, black, slavery, therefore how is your Islam allowing slavery? Say, time out. It is not about race here. It's about victorious versus the defeated. And that could be from any race. So we're not endorsing racism in any way, shape or form. Is that clear? But don't you deny what Islam taught. And be confident in explaining it. They don't like it, psh, don't like it. Okay, a kafir doesn't like it, okay, big deal. What do you want me to do? Change the religion for you? You don't like it? You will go to Jahannam, you will burn there, and maybe you will start liking it once you're in Jahannam. Don't tell him that, of course. But that's your mode, that's your state of mind. Because some people say, oh, let's keep changing until we bring him in. Ya akhi, if he doesn't want to come in, don't let him come in. Either he comes on Allah's terms or stay out. We don't want this 50-50 shahada. Yeah, but let him just give shahada. No, if he doesn't agree with Islam, stay out. Because if you were to come in and go back out, you would be executed. You're an apostate. So this is a very sensitive issue. People get excited into bringing shahada. They just want to add the count. We don't need any more munafiqeen. Either you need a real Muslim or you leave the munafiqeen outside. Keep him a kafir is better for you and better for him. For him, at least he won't be in the lowest level of the hellfire. He'll be somewhere above. For us, we will not be fooled with another munafiq. So when you bring a shahada, either it's legitimate or we don't want him. Someone says, yeah, I don't agree with ABC. You say, no problem, come to Islam anyway. Say no. If he has misconception and he's ready to declare the shahada, we say, okay, we will teach you as you go along. But don't say, don't worry about this just to make him happy. Or don't change the religion or hide it to make him happy. Say it as it is. If they like it, congratulations. They don't like it. Next. Alhamdulillah. We're not going to die yani, over them. If he doesn't become a Muslim, Allah's not going to hold you accountable. If you gave him Islam, as Allah revealed it. وَالرِّفْقُ بِالْمَمْلُوكِ مِنَ الْبَهَائِمِ سَوَاءَ كَانَتْ مِمَّا تُرْكَبْ أَوْ تُحْلَبْ أَوْ تُقْتَنَى. And also being kind to the own property amongst the animals or the cattle. Be it the one which you ride or the one which you milk or the one which you own. Okay, whether you are using it to ride it or you simply own it or you are milking it. Either way, it deserves a particular form of kindness and gentleness towards it. ويختلف بحسب ما تحتاج إليه. That differs according to the need of that animal itself. ففي الشتاء تجعل في الأماكن الدافئة إذا كانت لا تتحمل البرد. During the winter, you place it in a warm place if it's unable to bear or handle the cold. وفي الصيف في الأماكن الباردة إذا كانت لا تتحمل الحر. And during the summer, you place it in cool places if it cannot handle the heat. وَيُؤْتَ لَهَا بِالطَّعَامِ وَبِالشَّرَابِ إِنْ لَمْ تَحْصُلْ عَلَيْهِ بِنَفْسِهَا بِالرَّعِي. And you have to bring the food and the drink to it if it's unable to get it itself during, you know, when it's the whatever. وَإِذَا كَانَتْ مِمَّا تُحْمَلْ فَلَا مِمَّا تَحْمِلْ فَلَا تُحَمِّلْ لَا تُحَمَّلْ مَا لَا تُطِيقْ. And if it is among those which are يعني, loaded, then you do not load it with what is beyond its ability. Don't يعني, overburden it with things to carry. وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى كَمَالِ شَرْعِ. This indicates the perfection of the legislation. وَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَنْسَ حَتَّى الْبَهَائِمِ. Even the animals were not forgotten. وَعَلَى شُمُولِيَةِ طَرِيقَةِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ. It also indicates the comprehensiveness of the methodology of أهل السنة والجماعة. قَوْلُهُ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْفَخْرِ وَالْخُيَلَاءِ والبغي والاستطالة على الخلق بحق أو بغير حق. And they prohibit and forbid الفخر. What is فخر? Pride, boastfulness. طيب خيلاء, arrogance. والبغي,
oppression.
لا, I mean it's a form of oppression, but there's a more particular
transgression.
والاستطالة على الخلق. استطالة is to go overboard in wronging someone. بحق أو بغير حق. Whether you have a right or you don't have a right. Going overboard in general. Which is like transgression. الفخر بالقول. The Sheikh said, boastfulness is usually with the statement. والخيلاء بالفعل. And arrogance is with actions. والبغي العدوان. And transgression is transgression. والاستطالة الترفع والاستعلاء. And استطالة is to raise yourself and make yourself above others. Kind of go up and then put him down. Going overboard and putting him down. I'm up and I'm going to put you down kind of thing. فانهون عن الفخر. They prohibit boastfulness or pride. أن يتفخر الإنسان على غيره بقوله. That the person will boast against someone else with a statement. فيقول أنا العالم. I am the scholar. أنا الغني. I am the rich. أنا الشجاع. I am the brave. والله المستعان. وإذا زاد على ذلك أن يستطيل على الآخرين. If he goes beyond that even by going overboard with others. ويقول ماذا أنتم عندي. What are you compared to me? Huh? فيكون هذا فيه بغي واستطالة على الخلق. Now this is transgression and going overboard against the rights of the people. والخيلاء تكون بالأفعال. خيلاء, arrogance is with actions. يتخايل في مشيته. The way he walks, huh? You know that you know, yeah, move out of my way kind of thing. وفي وجهه, and with his face. Huh? He turns away from the people. Ah, who are you? وفي رفع رأسه, the way he raises his head. والعياذ بالله. ورقبته, and his neck. إذا مشى, and the way so when he walks, he raises his head and his neck. كأنه وصل إلى السماء, as if he has reached the sky. والله عز وجل وبخ من هذا فعله. Allah عز وجل has reprimanded the one whose action is like this. وقال ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا. Do not walk upon earth boastfully. إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا. Never does Allah love the one who is arrogant and boastful. سورة النساء آية 36. I don't think so. This is not سورة النساء آية 36. This is an error again. الله مستعان. فأهل السنة والجماعة ينهون عن هذا. أهل السنة والجماعة they prohibit that. ويقولون كن متواضعا في القول. Be humble in your statement. وفي الفعل and in your action. حتى في القول. Even in the statement. لا تثني على نفسك بصفاتك الحميدة. Don't go praising yourself with your excellent qualities and traits. Huh? إلا حيث دعت الضرورة. أول حاجة إلى ذلك. Unless there's a need or necessity. Who can give us an example?
Interview? It just happened today. You have to talk about yourself, like qualities, whatever, and all these things. And really, you don't like to do this, but you have to do it.
I wasn't thinking about that one. Yeah, but that's an example, huh?
Marriage proposal.
Or marriage proposal, yes. Well, yeah, the interview. I'm fast learner. He knows he's dumb and he takes forever to learn, huh? I'm a fast learner. I understand. I'm a team worker. He's the worst person in the world when it comes to team. I'm a team worker. I'm the best guy you can hire ever. Next. Yeah, you're right, akhi. Allah musta'an. But we have to keep it real also, even if it's a job interview. I mean, you have to say, you may flavor the words a little bit, give them some spice, but you can't say something that you actually don't do, or you don't have. Anyways, but also Yusuf alayhi salam. قال جعلني على خزائن الأرض. Huh? Make me in charge. What did he say about himself? إني حفيظ عليم. I am protective and knowledgeable. Because the situation required it. أنا بن مسعود. كقول ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه لو أعلم أحدا هو أعلم مني بكتاب الله تبلغه الإبل لركبت إليه. فانه رضي عنه قصد بذلك امرين. ابن مسعود said, if I knew anyone who is more knowledgeable of the book of Allah than myself, whom I can reach by riding a camel, I would have gone to him. يعني he's saying to the people, no one knows the book of Allah more than myself. Now that may be understood as boasting. But he, رضي الله عنه, intended two things, the Shaykh said, with this statement. الأول حث الناس على تعلم كتاب الله. He's encouraging the people to learn the book of Allah. He's telling him, I know the book of Allah. Learn the book of Allah, I'm here. وثاني دعوتهم لتلقي عن, inviting him to accept knowledge from him. And this is important. This is important that the people know his position, know how much he knows of the book of Allah, and that they trust him to take ilm from him, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the situation here required, it was a necessity. Had it not been the case, he wouldn't say that. But there was an objective behind it. So sometimes you're actually forced to say this, specifically in da'wah. But don't make it a habit. Don't make it a habit. Now remember one of these guys, يعني, I told you last time, after he gave the lecture, he said, okay, whoever wants an autograph, come after salah. Autograph? Gonna give the people autograph after he give a lecture? A da'i gives an autograph. What are you going to do with the autograph? Huh? Go home and hang it up, you know, it's the autograph of Fulan, Sheikh Fulan. Or you're going to, when you study, you put it next to you, seeking barakah. You touch it, then you flip the page. What is it going to do to you, akhi? What? If the people are foolish enough to ask for an autograph, you as a alim, as a sheikh, what is in your mind to give the people an autograph? What? What is the benefit? What do you think? Who do you think you are? And it's very sad. We don't know this from the ulama, man. We don't know of any alim. Go on, bring your book, let me sign it for you. Yani, this is nonsensical. But anyways, Allah yahdi. So, نعم. والإنسان ذو الصفات الحميدة لا يظن أن الناس لا يظن الناس تخفى عليهم خصاله أبدا. The Shaykh said the person with the praiseworthy qualities let him never think that the people will not pay attention to them. Huh? He doesn't have to say it basically. The people will know. سواء ذكرهم للناس أو لم يذكره. Whether he mentions them to the people or he doesn't mention them, خلاص, it doesn't matter. بل إن الرجل إذا صار يعدد صفاته الحميدة أمام الناس. But if the person starts enumerating his praiseworthy qualities among the people, in front of the people, سقط من أعينهم, he will fall out of his eye, their eyes. يعني they will just kind of say, next, we don't want to listen to him. فحذر هذا الأمر, so be careful of this matter. والبغي العدوان على الغير. بغي is transgression against others. ومواقعه ثلاثة بينها الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في قوله. There are three times or three limitations where you transgress. Explained by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. When he said, إن دماءكم, verily your blood, وأموالكم, and your wealth, وأعراضكم, and your honors, we will see what that means, عليكم حرام, is prohibited, يعني for you to violate each other's wealth, blood, and honor. فالبغي على الخلق بالأموال والدماء والأعراض. The way you transgress against people then is either by going overboard and transgressing against their money, their blood, their money, or their honor. في الأموال مثلا يدعي ما ليس له. In regards to wealth, you claim that which is not yours. This is mine, wallah. This is my property, it's my house, my car, it's not yours. This is transgression against the other people's property. أو ينكر ما كان عليه, or you deny what is due to you, what is due on you, and you say no, I don't owe you anything, and you know that you own something. أو يأخذ ما ليس له, or you take that which doesn't belong to you. فهذا بغي على الأموال. This is a form of transgression in wealth. وفي الدماء القتل فما دونه. دماء, blood, is killing, and whatever is below that. يعتدي على الإنسان بالجرح والقتل. Like you attack someone and you wound him. You injure him with a wound or you kill him. It's a form of transgression against people's blood. وفي الأعراض يحتمل أن يراد بها الأعراض يعني السمعة أو السمعة عفوا. الأعراض, what could be intended is your reputation. فيعتدي عليه بالغيبة التي يشوه بها سمعته. You transgress against him by backbiting him so that you wind up tarnishing his reputation. ويحتمل أن يراد بها الزنا وما دونه. And it could be that what is intended is zina and whatever is lesser than that. والعياذ بالله. That's the ird, the honor. So you violate the honor by committing zina against that person, that person's daughter, that person's sister. Okay. Besides her herself. والكل محرم. All of this حرام على كل حال. Both of them. فأهل السنة والجماعة ينهون عن الاعتداء على الأموال والدماء والأعراض. So أهل السنة والجماعة, they prohibit all of that. Wealth, blood, honor. وكذلك الاستطالة على الخلق, عن الاستيلاء عليهم بحقنا وبغير حق. Also they prohibit raising yourself, upon, you know, over the people, whether it is right or without a right. فالاستعلاء على الخلق ينهى عنه أهل السنة والجماعة. Putting yourself in that position is prohibited by the Sunnah wal Jama'ah. سواء كان بحقنا أو بغير حق. Whether it is with a right or without a right, والاستعلاء هو أن الإنسان يترفع على غيره. It's to feel like you are above everybody else. وحقيقة الأمر أن من شكر من شكر نعمة الله عليك, أن الله إذا من عليك بفضل على غيرك من مالك أو جاه أو سيادة أو علم أو غير ذلك, فإنه ينبغي أن تزداد تواضعا. The Shaykh said, Rahimullah, and the truth of the matter is, you, out of you or part of you being thankful to the bounty of Allah upon you, that if Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed upon you a particular favor over others, such as in your money or in your position or in your authority or knowledge or anything other than that, that you should become more humble because of that. حتى تضيف إلى الحسن حسنا. So you can add to the goodness other goodness. Deadly combination. لأن الذي يتواضع في موضع الرفع هو المتواضع حقيقة. The one who humbles himself while he is above is the real one who is humble, not the one who doesn't have anything to be humble about. ومعنى قولي بحق أي حتى لو كان له الحق في بيان أنه عال مترفع. Meaning, what is intended by بحق, meaning even if he has a right to be above. فإن أهل السنة والجماعة ينهون عن الاستعلاء والترفع. Even if you are in that position, they prohibit that. أو يقال إن معنى قول استطالة بحق أن يكون أصل استطالتي حقا. Or it could be that the fundamental reason, the actual reason behind his استطالة is actually true. He has a reason, he has a right to be in that fashion. بأن يكون قد اعتدى عليه إنسان, like someone who attacks you. Now you have the right to be coming from above. فيتعدى عليه أكثر. So you take it into extreme measures. يعني he slaps you and you whoop him up. Beat him completely. Break a bone or break a leg. Then you've gone overboard and in استعلاء أو استطالة. على كل حال, فأهل السنة والجماعة رحمهم الله ينهون عن الاستطالة والاستعلاء على الخلق. أهل السنة والجماعة prohibit استطالة, going overboard, واستعلاء, raising yourself above the creation. سواء كان ذلك بحق أو بغير حق. Whether you had a right to do so or you did not have the right to do so. Of course, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah also make a distinction in terms of how they treat the people of Bid'ah. Just so you will understand the context of these things. When it comes to the people of Bid'ah, there's a whole other mode of behavior. This is in regards to your Muslim brother who's ignorant or who may be involved in some issues or whatever, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. When it comes to the people of Bid'ah, we have statements from the Salaf that whoever honors a Mubtadi', he has actually aided in the destruction of Islam. If you honor a Mubtadi', you're helping in the destruction because you're giving him that which he is not worthy of. And so, when a Mubtadi' is given the spotlight, he will damage Islam. So make sure that you understand the context. The people of Bid'ah are always depriving themselves of many privileges, like the ones we spoke about in the lecture, all in one. And like now, they deprive themselves by not adhering to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Had they returned, then their rights will return. Until such time, we're talking about the Mubtadi' who's calling people to Bid'ah. Not your local brother in the masjid who's ignorant. This one you take it easy with, you bring him, you love him, and you teach him. We're talking about the heads of innovators. The heads of innovation and the innovators who are out there and inviting people to Bid'ah. They don't have this treatment. So just in case you heard or saw something, you won't think there's a contradiction. And with this, inshallah, we conclude. Next week, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal, we'll be dealing with how to be of noble character, the noble character of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And brothers, we are like 5-6 pages away from this book ending. Few pages. Wallahu musta'an wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Nabiyyina Muhammad.